Welcome back to part two of WHQR's live broadcast of the New Hanover County Beach Town Forum. We're joined by candidates from Carolina, Curie, and Wrightsville Beaches. We're also joined by a small live studio audience, WECT's John Evans and WHQR's Katie O'Reilly. I'm your moderator, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. So, Katie O'Reilly, for the sake of our listeners and for Dan Wilcox, would you repeat your question?
Especially yes. For me.
And for me.
Mr. Wilcox, what do you see as the pros and cons of adding more condominiums and apartment complexes to your community?
Well, first of all, our single-family residents aren't in jeopardy unless we were to change the ordinances to allow condos and multifamily apartments in those areas that are traditionally single-family. And we haven't done that. Matter of fact, in the 7 years I've been with the town on P&Z and council, we've reduced densities at least four times, and we've made zoning regulations for residential areas more restrictive, not less restrictive. But the reality of it is that every town, like ours, and all towns, have different zoning districts. We have areas that condos and apartments are allowed. We have areas that two-family dwellings are allowed. We have areas that single families are allowed. They all serve a part of our community. Many of the people that come here and buy a condo end up staying in our town and selling the condo and buying and building a single-family home. Much of our rental community, our rental industry for the town, is using those condominiums and apartments, especially the condominiums, and renting them to visitors on a weekly basis. And the owners use them when they're not being rented. So we have areas for those. Our town isn't built out. We have room in some of those areas if they're going to build them. That's what those areas are just designated for. So I don't think they jeopardize anything. They create tax base. They contribute to our utilities and all the other fees in our town, and they're part of our community. So I don't have a problem with those.
Thank you, Tom Bridges. Same question.
Thank you. I agree with Dan, and the others have talked about the zoning certainly protects the residents so that if they are in a single-family R1, they can be assured that that's going to remain there. And there are areas that are also zoned for multifamily. R3 can have duplexes, and certainly we had lots of those built before the crash, and many of those are not occupied as well as some of the other houses. And certainly now we've got a lot of condos, we've got a lot of apartments. I'm not sure what the how many are filled up, how many are actually rented out. There's a lot of spaces I see want to go past those. But certainly the zoning can take care of that, and the economy can take care of that as well. I've noticed a lot in the Wilmington Beach area where I live that single-family homes are now making a great insurgence. Every time I walk my dog, I see another house going up. And the difference between now and back in 2008 is that most of the time before the house is finished, it's under contract. And that makes a big difference because back then the developers were all trying to make an easy buck and they were investing and they were building stuff right and left. And it was like, what makes you think you can sell yours when there's like 90 other ones that have not been sold? And now the mentality has changed from that. So I think we're in good shape. I think the economy will certainly dictate whether anybody wants to come in and put that much money in a condo or not. But I think as long as they're being smart investors, I like the way it's going right now, though, with single-family homes making a resurgence. That helps us and helps us during the 12 months that we have full-time people. So thank you.
Thank you. And now we will turn to our one studio audience question, Cleve Callison. Are you going to read the question, or is the audience member?
No, our audience member is going to ask her question. This is Anne Lyon with a question for our folks from Wrightsville Beach.
Okay, please proceed. And this question will be directed to Lisa Weeks first, and you will have 2 minutes to answer this.
My question to you and to Bill is, where do you see Wrightsville Beach 10 years from now?
As I talk to my constituents, their biggest concern is preserving our quality of life. And to me, if we can maintain the current quality that we have now, 10 years from now, then I think we've accomplished a lot. Over the past 10 years, New Hanover County has grown 30%, and that traffic's coming across the drawbridge on day trippers and overnighters, which puts increased pressure on our infrastructure. And so good leadership plans for the future, and that's why I'm running for the board again, is because I want to be a part of that planning process. But we can't continue to do what we've been doing in the way of traffic flow and not addressing some of our infrastructure needs like water and sewer that are in need of repair. And so good leadership is planning accordingly. And to me, 10 years from now, with us having the same quality of life that we have now, I think will be a major accomplishment.
Thank you. Bill Sisson.
Well, I think that one of the things that Wrightsville Beach has is an amazing quality of life, and like Lisa, I'm dedicated to preserving it. I think that what Wrightsville Beach has not had is a really solid strategic plan for how to get there. And I'm a very strong advocate of strategic planning. Years ago, we had a sort of compressed study called a charrette that was participated in by a very, very large number of our residents. Some terrific ideas for the beach were generated as a result of that, some design considerations and some ways to improve the traffic flow. Those types of things don't need to sit on a shelf. They need to come back off the shelf and be discussed again. I think that we need to improve our bicycle and pedestrian facilities. I think we need to preserve our commercial areas and look at the ones that need redevelopment or that are ripe for redevelopment and figure out the best way to do that. And so far, we're taking these things on a case-by-case basis. I'm not satisfied with that. I want to see a roadmap. I want to see a guideline. I see Wrightsville Beach in 10 years being more family-friendly. It's very family-friendly now, but I think it can be even more so. I want to make sure that everybody in every neighborhood is not worried about their quality of life. They don't have to worry about unruly behavior. I want to make sure that our commercial sector stays strong and healthy. And the only way we can do that is to plan for it. And so I'm a very, very strong advocate of that and will fight for it tooth and nail if I'm reelected to the board.
Thank you very much. WECT's John Evans, do you have a viewer question for our Curie Beach candidates?
I do. It was one that was sent in for the Carolina Beach mayoral forum that we did that we didn't get to that night. And it was dealing with the General Assembly and the cap on terminal groins along the coast. Do you favor what the General Assembly did? Do you agree with the use of the groins for to help control erosion along the inlets, Mr. Mayor?
Well, the terminal groins that they talked about, you know, they only permitted, you know, a few of them.
Four, right.
And they're not going to, you know, I don't think in any shape, form, or fashion it affects Carolina Beach's inlet. So I'm in favor of them if they protect the inlets, but I don't think it's not worth talking about for Carolina Beach because we're a long ways from that fact. I don't think that the terminal groin is going to be a player in the inlets. I think we need to work with the Inlet Association and keep funding for dredging in the state legislature, keep it coming forward.
Mr. Blasinski?
I'm not necessarily a huge fan of terminal groins. I'm not sure that you don't move the problem from one area to another area. My preference would be that we work for additional funds to keep the inlets open, keep the beaches natural and beautiful, and avoid the potential issues that could come with the placement of terminal groins. So I'm not necessarily in favor of them unless they can demonstrate where the positives would occur and where the negatives would occur.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I have a listener question for the Carolina Beach candidates. This listener writes in and says, if you believe that diversity is important on Carolina Beach Council, reflective of the demographics of Carolina Beach, age, race, gender, etc., what would your ideal council look like? If you do not agree, why not? And we'll begin with Jody Smith.
Well, I think being the youngest candidate here, but having lived in Carolina Beach for 10 years and lived in the Wilmington area for now half my life, I do feel like I offer an interesting demographic. I have a young son. I'm very involved in the school community and with lots of the families. We have a very large growing number of families in Carolina Beach. So I'm very connected to those, to that demographic in Carolina Beach. I'm also very connected to the environmental projects with being involved with the Sea Turtle Project. So I think personally that I add a certain demographic to the council. And I think it's important, though, as well to bring in additional ideas and opinions from people who maybe don't fit that same demographic as myself. But again, being a, I think it's important to have an age range and men and women and people that don't always agree on every single issue, but at the same time can work together and move on from one topic to the next. So I think it's important to have diversity, but at the same time important to have a group of level-headed people that can work together. So
thank you. Mike Worley, same question.
I think diversity and variety is very important when serving on town council, because I think the council needs to basically represent the community in a whole. I do agree that, you know, with diversity, you know, you have differences of opinions, but yet you get great ideas. So I think it benefits the town to have diversity in age, race, their nationality, where they were born. I think it's very important. And, you know, I think that we need to be careful not to stereotype what a council person should look like. And so I think diversity is the key to our town continuing to move forward, because naturally we're just not looking at the present. We're looking at, you know, creating an atmosphere in our town for the next generation.
Thank you. Bob Lewis.
Yes, I believe in diversity myself. I'm probably the senior member here, the oldest member probably just talking here tonight, at least in Carolina Beach. And so I think it's interesting the way the council we have today is kind of interesting in that we have some young people, older people, people of different walks of life that really reflect a lot of diversity, because we have different educational backgrounds, different interests. And I think that's really kind of made it kind of gel together for us over the last year. There's always these you're here in the neighborhoods when you're talking to people about the Good Old Boy Network. If you really take a look at the council today, and councils actually I've been part of the last 4 years, there's been a lot of diversity, you know, in the councils. Everybody's had a different opinion. We aren't in the same businesses together. We have different faiths. I think we're looking at different things from a different perspective. But I will say that the involvement, like some like Jody or some younger people and some younger ideas, have definitely been impressive, I think, and helped the council this last year. Because I think in the past, I think we've had a little older community council over the years. So you're probably more 45 to 50 years and up. It seemed to be where the council seemed to be focused for a period of time. So right now I think we probably have more diversity than we've ever had, and I think it's a very positive thing for the community.
Thank you. Dan Wilcox.
Well, generally speaking, the more diversity on the board, the better the work product, I believe. I think we'd love to have on every board older and younger folks and men and women and people with kids, people without kids, you know, a whole range of diverse people. And what we get for council is the people that are willing to run and the people that elect them. So I think when it comes to council, we get what we get. But where the council can really create diversity is in its boards and committees. It's the committees that it appoints. I know when I was on council, our whole council, we made an extra effort to appoint diversity, people with diverse backgrounds, people with diverse opinions, people that would come up and shake their fingers at us, and we knew they were pretty much not thinking the same way we were thinking. We still appointed them to boards, and we tried to appoint people to boards with different backgrounds, different opinions, because the recommendations that come to council are important to us. So those committees are how we can create more diversity as a council, you know, even though we ourselves, the council, are chosen by the people. So thanks.
Thank you. Tom Bridges.
Well, I agree. Diversity is good, and we do have a diverse town council at this time. I think one of the things that's good about us is that we don't always agree. I think it's beneficial if you have different ideas coming to the table, because the more diverse thinking you use, the better ideas you're going to come together with, and you're going to come to a consensus with a better one. I also agree that through the committees, you can certainly add diversity to our ranks, get more ideas, and make sure we have representative of the town. But as far as the people running, it's whoever is willing to run. Certainly, you can't go around and pick and choose, because it takes a vast amount of time when you decide to be on the council. It's not just a monthly meeting. When I was, you know, interviewing for the appointment to the council, they said that. They didn't emphasize that enough. There's a lot of work. Certainly, if I was not retired, I don't know how anybody that's working can balance that. And we've got people that are working, and they're willing to try to do this and have done it in the past. But it does take a lot, and certainly the more you want to be committed, the more time it's going to take. And I only know one way to do in any job, and that's all the way in, and is and devote all the time I can to it to be able to be effective. So, but I think diversity is good. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll finish up that question with Leanne Pierce.
And I absolutely agree with diversity as well, and I think I'm probably right in the middle of you guys. I have worn a lot of hats in Carolina Beach, and I have been a mother, and I raised my children at Carolina Beach School, and they played basketball and soccer, and they've done all those things. And I'm very happy to say that they are much older now and do not need me, so that is a good thing. But I do think what I bring to the table now is I have 18 years of running a small business in Carolina Beach. I know what it's like every week to make a payroll on Friday. And if you didn't make any money that week, and you got to pay your employees first, you don't get a paycheck. And we have quite a few people in Carolina Beach that are running businesses and doing that same kind of thing, and they're feeling the pain, and we got to make sure we have somebody on our council who understands what they're going through. You know, I know that there's different, you know, home businesses and all, but it's not the same when you have 15 or 20 or even 25, 30 employees waiting for you to hand them a check at the end of the week. And I think we need somebody on council who understands the needs of our business community as well.
Thank you. You're listening to WHQR's live broadcast of the New Hanover County Beach Town Forum. We're joined by candidates from Carolina Curie and Wrightsville Beach, as well as journalists WECT's John Evans and WHQR's Katie O'Reilly. Katie, we'll turn now to Wrightsville Beach. If you would direct your next question to Bill Sisson.
Mr. Sisson, in the event that you're unable to delay the Flood Insurance Reform Act from going into effect, are you prepared to help your city's residents manage increased insurance premiums?
Yes, because there isn't an alternative. I certainly think the town owes its citizens an obligation in that regard. There are things that the town can do, even under the current regulations, that will help to a certain degree provide some sort of discount on the insurance rates. Some of those things relate to the community rating system that I mentioned earlier. An example of something like that would be enhancing the dune system to afford greater protection for the barrier island, which in turn would count, give points to people who were being hit by these flood insurance rate increases. I never give up hope, nor do I give up pushing. I think we're going to push this thing back. I think there are a number of things that are going on right now that are working in that direction. Mike McIntyre and Walter Jones have been leading the charge on this for North Carolina. We've got every single municipal jurisdiction and all the counties in this part of the state which have joined together passing resolutions against it. We have other delegates in the House of Representatives who are now starting to understand what this means for them, even though they don't represent coastal districts. So we're starting to see sort of a gathering of mass, and I'm hoping it's going to reach critical mass fairly soon now that the budget debacle is over. I've organized a lot of things. I continue to organize. I talk to McIntyre's office weekly to try to figure out the best strategy to pursue. I think North Carolina can join with Florida, and a friend of the lawsuit Mississippi has filed to try to delay this thing. So I think we're going to beat it, but I don't think it's going to be done easily, and I don't think it's going to be done quickly.
Lisa Weeks, same question.
I think the root of the problem here is bigger than just the flood insurance. We don't have a share of voice for coastal communities up and down the eastern seaboard, and I think it's very critical at this point to build a coalition of communities. We started that when I was on the board. We met with the Curie and Carolina Beach leadership and started that camaraderie, and I think we need to expand that to have a strong share of voice at the state and federal level. In my company, we call it share of voice and a reliable presence, and right now we don't have that. It's very disjointed, and I think that we can continue to build that coalition, and as Mayor Pro Tem has done, continue the letter writing and the squeaky wheel, so to speak, to Bigger Waters Flood Act. There's no question that our flood insurance fund needs to be built up, but the way we're going about it, I think, is putting undue pressure on our residents. As far as locally, I think we can work with our residents and helping them bring their homes up to code and address some of our ordinances in that respect. I think, again, with beach renourishment, ensuring that we continue to have funding with that will help with our insurance rates. And then right now they're updating the maps, and I know there's some areas on the beach that are currently VE rated, and perhaps they could be rated down to an AE rating, and I think those are some areas that we can be proactive in. But as Mayor Pro Tem said, I don't want to give up on this. I really strongly encourage our residents to continue to write those emails and make those phone calls.
Thank you. And now we'll turn back to Curie Beach. Again, with you, John Evans, if you would direct your question to Craig Blazinski.
You said earlier, both you and the mayor talked about the park, which I talked about early on. You both mentioned a number more events that are happening down there. Do you have to balance, and are you cognizant of balancing the number of events so that Curie Beach doesn't get inundated with more visitors than maybe you want and maybe loses its quiet community aspect to a number of events that come from the county, from the city, or more than you really can handle?
That's an excellent question. This year was the first year we tried to load the Oceanfront Park with a variety of programs that would be entertaining to children, entertaining to Friday evening guests, and entertaining to Sunday afternoon visitors and residents. We're taking a look at it now on the Parks and Recreation Committee to determine, do we have the best hours, do we have the best dates, do we support the shoulder season, do we expand into other areas when it's the warmest, do we really try to back off some of these concerts and some of these free activities? That's under study, and in February there will be a recommendation for budgeting and program brought back to the town council based on the success of the last year. We received tremendous feedback from the local residents, and particularly on the enjoyment for the children's programs, the enjoyment for the Tuesday morning farmers market, and then the enjoyment specifically on Sunday afternoons. So we're encouraged. We think we have the right mix. We think we have an excellent formula. We think we're drawing the right people. And we're going to study all the costs, and we'll study the input from the town, and we're going to look at some of the survey feedback, and we will take it from there.
Mr. Mayor?
We have an excellent Parks and Recreation member. Her name is Joan Van Ham, and she was responsible for getting the we had, 17 bands down there. And then, of course, the city went along and they did stuff on the weekends. Now, the Sunday stuff that we had was absolutely excellent. We're going to have to work on the hours a little bit because it was awfully hot down there. And I think I think Craig and I sweated the most of anybody down there. But we're going to work on that. We're going to review the cost for the town, and we may have to move some money around to make sure that we continue in some, you know, operation that we've got to finish up the park, and we've got to let our parks and recreation members that want to go down to the park to have more food diversity down there. We also got, I think we had four weddings down there planned this year. So we're going to try to make the Oceanfront Park pay for itself. And that will help out a whole lot with the, you know, the expenses. So we're not going to make it a burden on the people of Curie Beach. We're going to let the people of Curie Beach enjoy the park. So hopefully all is going to go well. Thanks.
Thank you. Turning back to Carolina Beach. Katie, if you would direct your next question to Mike Worley.
Mr. Worley, can you speak about your ongoing efforts to strengthen your reputation as a family beach? And tell us what needs to happen to keep that spirit alive in Carolina Beach?
I think it's safe to say we've come a long way. You know, naturally everyone has their opinion of what Carolina Beach is, and I can say it's not what it used to be. I think we're making great strides with our boardwalk improvement project. I think, you know, we have a variety of things that appeal to families. If you look at our schedule of events throughout the year, you'll find the majority of those events are family-oriented and a lot of times are free. You know, beginning with our free movies on Sunday night around the lake, we just have a lot of things to offer to the families. We have amusement rides that come in for a small charge. And I just think the camaraderie that's come from our boardwalk businesses and the people that have seen how important our boardwalk is in attracting families, I think that's really portraying what Carolina Beach is all about. We have some wonderful residents with open arms. We welcome the tourists to bring their families, you know, to our island. We have plenty of events that take place that are family-oriented throughout the year, different music festivals and things of that nature. So I think we're on the right track in attracting families and basically just laying to rest the old stigma that Carolina Beach has. I think times have changed, and I think we're on the right track to be in what we need to be and what people expect us to be with a family-oriented beach.
Thank you. Bob Lewis.
Yes, I think there's a number of things that have happened that really help our beach become a family-oriented beach. Chamber, Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce and the business community, the Boardwalk Initiative, the Central Carolina Beach Boardwalk Initiative, Downtown Initiative. They're basically all the businesses, not just in the Central Business District, but all across the community. So those in the Highway Business District, as well as those in our Central Business, are really doing various things for family-type events. We have events at all over the community, so it's not just really focused on. Everybody keeps talking about our boardwalk. The boardwalk is a main focus, and I think when we restore the historic wooden boardwalk, we'll actually even have more of a destination to go to. But there's other things going on. We have a lake. We have a lot of events at the lake that drive a lot of different participation. We have different businesses in our community that put on different productions or do some type of entertainment to kind of keep people interested. We have businesses that have opened themselves to putting athletic-type events on. And so the whole community itself is growing and a very strong point. The other things we've done is a council. Our council is really supportive of all those events, but also supportive of all of our recreation activities. So Mike Chapel Park has been a big boom for us. You know, when I first came to Carolina Beach, I'd go up to Mike Chapel Park. I'd saw people, kids on the skateboards on the skate park, but never really saw anybody in softball or baseball. I saw some people up in the soccer fields. Now we have people there every night playing co-ed softball. We have children's baseball. We have youth baseball going great guns. We have kickball leagues. We have basketball. We have tennis people up there. We have a lot of different organizations that are using the soccer fields. We have rugby talking about starting. So there's just a lot of things that entertain people and families that bring them together. And I think that's been great for Carolina Beach. And our council has been very supportive of that as we go.
Thank you. Dan Wilcox.
Well, I can honestly say that one of the things I've worked the hardest on for Carolina Beach is to bring families back. 6 years ago when I was, when I was elected to town council, my promise was to revitalize the boardwalk. The purpose was it was nearly blighted, and we pretty much lost all the crowds that used to come down there. No families hardly at all went to the boardwalk, and we'd lost a huge share of our market and our families for our beach, our tourism. I was lucky enough to get a large group of volunteers together, and we plowed through that, and we did a lot of painting and fixing, and just trying to make our place, our boardwalk, a safer, friendly place that families could come. And we've seen dramatic turnaround in our town on many different levels. We were told we could never get the families back, and they're back in droves now. One thing we realized early on was that anybody that wants to go on vacation can come to our beach. They could go up and down the coast to any one of the beaches. And the difference between hotel rooms and all the costs to visit are not a lot, are not great. So when they came to our beach, what we could offer them was events. We could offer them that they could come to our town for a week, and they'd have something to do almost every night of the week that would be entertaining, that wouldn't cost them anything. So we started the bingo on Wednesday nights and the family night on Tuesday nights and fireworks and music on Thursday nights. The chamber does the fireworks. They're doing movies at the lake. You can come to our town and have something to do with your family almost every night of the week. That's made a huge difference in the tourism we've been seeing and the rate of return for our families. It's become a family beach again for the first time in probably 20 years. So, you know, all the people who are involved in that should be very proud, and I was very proud to be part of it.
Thank you. Tom Bridges.
Well, I agree. All the things that have been mentioned are very important for the family-oriented beach that we're trying to promote. And like anything, it's a perception. And any time a negative thing takes place, memories from 10, 15, 20 years ago come back, flooding back quickly. So we have to guard against that by being as positive and working toward making sure that when families do come to our beach, that they do have a good experience, not just on the activities, but it's a safe beach. And certainly we've got a new police chief we've just hired. I'm very optimistic he's going to be really good for being able to promote, because we've got a lot of rules on the beach, but we don't always, you know, we don't enforce those. That confuses people. You look and you see the rules, and then you see half the people are doing it. Then it says don't do that, and you give people the wrong message. And as a principal, I was a firm believer: if you've got a rule, enforce it. If you don't want to enforce the rule, get rid of it. So I think that'll be helpful if we can be consistent for our visitors, so that they really feel comfortable and they know what's expected. And I think it'll promote good behavior all the way up and down the beach. Also, I think our new boardwalk renovation is going to be a major boost for our families, because, you know, we're going to have 10-foot-wide accesses, so even handicapped people can come and be able to view the beach and get to the beach. 16-foot-wide main boardwalk will be extended by 800 linear feet. All those things are going to help to bring down there. And we're also going to add splash parks. That's really going to bring the kids in, so where they can go and run through the water, splash around. So I think all those things together, we can really continue to promote our beaches as family-oriented. Thank you.
Leanne Pierce.
Well, this one's kind of easy for me, because my vision for Carolina Beach is that it always be and remain a family-oriented beach. I know people who come to the hotel, they bring their children, they always have, and they say, first thing they say is, well, they want to know where to eat, and they say, what's to do in this town? And I say, you know, where else can you go in anywhere? And on Tuesday night, you can go down to the boardwalk, and you have bouncy houses, and you have games and rides and activities, all free. Wednesday night, you can play bingo. Thursday night, you listen to music and fireworks. Saturday morning, you can go to the farmer's market. And on Sunday, you can watch movies at the lake. I don't know of any other community that offers that kind of thing to families. And I think we have made huge progress in that. And I have enjoyed, you know, having my children do these things. And I'm looking forward to having my grandchildren do these things in our community. And I think Carolina Beach is just a very family-oriented place. And I would like to say that I would also like to encourage our continued biking and walking. I want to see our bike paths continue to be developed, and I think that has become a huge success in Carolina Beach, and everybody in our town loves our golf cart. So we are very, very economically friendly when it comes to that kind of thing, so we are enjoying our community.
Thank you. Jody Smith.
Yeah, there's no question that the past decade or so, our island has seen a major improvement in the family-friendly reputation. And I think there's also good reason that Carolina Beach Boardwalk ends on one of the top 10 lists of these travel websites and magazines. And it's definitely become a family-friendly destination. And I think anyone that's been involved with those makeovers and everything should be very, very proud of the work they've done. And there's no question that this needs to remain a priority for our council to continue to support businesses that are family friendly, to come not just to the Central Business District but to the whole island, continue to encourage those fun family activities in the summertime, but also again for our year-round residents that have children that want to bike and play sports and do all those things that families enjoy doing on the weekends and during the week. I just continue to support programs like that for all of the families that not just visit our island and on vacation or maybe even just from Wilmington for the day. They come down and want to spend the day at the beach or get ice cream cones or ride bikes around or whatever it might be. I think we just really need to maintain that focus on doing whatever we can to support the activities and the businesses that are family friendly.
Thank you. You're listening to WHQR's live broadcast of the New Hanover County Beach Town Forum. We're joined by candidates from Carolina, Curie, and Wrightsville Beaches. We're also joined by two journalists, WECT's John Evans and WHQR's Katie O'Reilly. It's time now to turn to our closing statements. So we will turn to the town of Wrightsville Beach. We will begin with Lisa Weeks. And candidates, please note, this is a different time frame. You have 90 seconds for your closing statements. Our timekeepers, I see, are making the necessary adjustments. They are doing that. And in just a moment, Lindsay, would you signal me when you're ready to begin?
Can I borrow you a moment?
And I can time it here. And we will begin now, Lisa.
Hi, my name is Lisa Weeks, and I'm a full-time resident on Harbor Island with my white lab, Allie, and I have a BS in industrial engineering and a master's in business administration. I'm currently a hospital representative with Merck and Company here in the area. And I had the privilege to serve as Wrightsville Beach Alderman 6 years ago. And during my term, we managed the town's finances during one of the most worst recessions in history. And we were able to significantly increase the town's capital improvement fund and also build a sand fund. We talked a lot about beach renourishment this evening. And Wrightsville Beach, when I was on the board, was very proactive in seeing the writing on the wall and getting that started early on. As I speak with my constituents, their number one concern is preserving our quality of life. And I think we can accomplish that three ways. First, ensure that our town is financially secure. And by that, I mean effectively managing our town's finances with long-range planning for our infrastructure needs. And as I spoke earlier, building a coalition with our neighboring communities to ensure that we have proper beach renourishment funding, as well as doing something about our flood insurance rates. Also, quality of life means friendly but safe, and that's just ensuring we have noise ordinances in place and bike and pedestrian ways. But thank you.
Thank you. And now we turn to Bill Sisson.
I think primarily one of the qualities that I bring to this job is first of all, some experience in government. Someone said that's a negative. I don't think so. I think it helps you work better with the other jurisdictions that you come in contact with. And if you can work better with them, it's going to make your town better. I think you also have to want somebody who's going to work hard for you. I haven't missed a single meeting in 4 years. I even came back from surgery 2 days later to chair a committee that I was head of. So I'm dedicated, I work hard, and I will continue to do so for the citizens of Wrightsville Beach. I believe in long-range planning. I believe in following those plans. I believe that Wrightsville Beach, as I said, can be more family-friendly than it is now. I do believe it is family-friendly at the present, but I think we can do some more things that will attract more families to our beach, which then prohibits some of the behaviors that we would all rather not see occur in any town. help strengthen the nuisance ordinance to help control some of the unruly areas in our town. And I have also brought some grant proposals into the town with respect to transportation infrastructure. So I hope that the voters will see fit to reelect me to the Board of Aldermen of the town of Riceville Beach. And thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. We'll turn now to Curie Beach, and we will begin Curie Beach closing statements with Dean Lambeth.
Thank you. I would like to say that serving as mayor of Curie Beach over the last 4 years has been a real, real asset to me, because it's opened my eyes that everybody in Curie Beach is not the same. And that's why we have coffee with the mayor, and we hope that, you know, the problems that the regular rank-and-file folks have, they bring them to town hall and we get them resolved. We have the best police department. They have very slow or no turnover. We have the best public works department. When you see a garbage man riding on the back of a garbage truck and he's smiling, then that's a good thing. And then we have the best fire department. And I think that Curie Beach as a whole is a wonderful place to live. We've had the Oceanfront Park. We have improved Dow Road. We're going to improve some sidewalks in Curie Beach. We're also going to bury the power lines in the B1 district this year. And it's all been approved, so thank you very much, and I appreciate your vote.
And Craig Blazinski.
I'm running for town council because I love Curie Beach, its family atmosphere, and I think that the current group of leaders has provided significant improvements to our infrastructure, to the pleasure of our life, and stayed fiscally responsible. We are in a good position. We have a lot of challenges as coastal residents. I feel a little under siege. Hazard insurance going up, flood insurance going up, funds being withdrawn for beach renourishments, for inland work, potential impacts of designated habitat legislation that's out there in front of us. And we need to act as a single entity, as a beach community, to show our state producers and our national congressmen that we are producers at the beach, and their investments in us return value to the citizens and return value to our country. So I want to help make sure the path that we are on at Curie Beach today continues, and that's my goal.
Thank you very much. And turning to Carolina Beach, we'll begin with Bob Lewis.
Yes, I want to thank WHQR for this forum. Number one, I really want to thank all the people in Carolina Beach who have supported me over the last 4 years. I appreciate your support. I've made my commitment to you 4 years ago, and I said I would not raise taxes. I would not vote to raise taxes. I would go out and find as a full-time grant writer. I would work on ways to try and fix our water quality. And I would work on ways to improve our economic development so that really everybody in our community would have an opportunity to have a good job, a good opportunity to enjoy the quality of life that we have in Carolina Beach. I really want to thank everybody. I've been around the town the last couple of months going door to door. I appreciate the warmth that you've shown me in that you kind of confirm that we are going in the right direction. You know, we are fiscally responsible. We've done all the right things. You like the construct of our current council. You like the fact that we're looking at things that are environmentally improvements. So we've done some things with recycling that no one's moved forward with. We worked on a comprehensive plan to fix the water. We've lowered taxes by 11% last year and kept that in place this year. And we're working on projects that improve the quality of life for every resident. And I just want to thank everybody who's I've gotten to meet over the last couple months and over the last 4 years, and I appreciate your support. And I'm looking for your support in the election here on November 5th. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Dan Wilcox.
Yes, thank you. Well, to start with, you know, it's in the intro it said I was on PNC and council, and I did serve on those committees. I also served for the last 11 years on numerous other committees of all different types. I served on the county board as town representative for Tourism Development Authority and Ports, Waterway, and Beach Commission. And when I ran for council, I promised that I would revitalize the boardwalk, improve our town image, and reestablish us as a viable tourist destination. And I kept those promises. And I'd like to continue those programs, the boardwalk makeover, the new boardwalk improvements that are coming. and continue to enhance the reasons people want to come to Carolina Beach. It's something that you let your guard down, and you'll get stale, you'll get old, and we'll be right back where we were. So I think we need to stay on cutting edge on that. Most importantly, I'd like to bring some strong leadership to Carolina Beach. I think the citizens deserve clear and consistent leadership. I think clear and consistent leadership are also important with our county and state partners. If they look at us and don't take us seriously, in some cases they have a tendency to distance themselves instead of drawing themselves closer to us. And we need to increase those relationships, not diminish them. So as your mayor, I would continue with those programs, and I would provide leadership to the town that I think is needed. Thank you very much.
Time. Thank you. Tom Bridges.
I'm Tom Bridges, and I've certainly enjoyed my time. It's been an honor and a pleasure to serve the town of Carolina Beach citizens since January when I was appointed to the council. Never wanted to run a campaign before. That was not on my bucket list. But serving the people of Carolina Beach has been a pleasure, and I would like to continue to do that. So as I go around and talk to the citizens throughout this campaign, I've learned a lot. We have a wide variety of socioeconomic levels in our town that some people are not aware of, and we need to keep them all in mind when we make decisions. One of the things I did in my entire career was I was very good at I had to make decisions all the time. I mean, 100 decisions in one day was not unusual. So I'm used to being able to analyze all sides of an issue and being able to come up with a fair answer to that. So I hope I'll be able to continue to do that for the citizens of Carolina Beach, and I hope you'll remember to vote for me on November the 5th, 2 weeks from today. Thank you.
Thank you. Leanne Pierce.
My name is Leanne Pierce, and I'm a candidate for Carolina Beach Town Council. I'd like to thank WHQR and everyone who put this debate together for us tonight. I have a Bachelor of Science degree in biology, and I'm certified in business and technical communications, and I also hold a North Carolina real estate license. I own Drifters Reef Hotel in Carolina Beach. I have been in Carolina Beach for 23 years. I chose Carolina Beach as the town where I would raise my children and start a business and invest my time and money. And simply, I am running for council in Carolina Beach because I love our town. I care about its future. I care about what's happening now and where it's going in its future. I think we have a lot of issues that are facing Carolina Beach, and I know how to work hard, and I know how to get things done. And I can bring this experience to you on our council, and I'm asking for your vote on November 5th.
Thank you. Jody Smith.
Yeah, thanks to WHQR for hosting tonight. I think this has been a great opportunity for us to talk to some of the listeners, and I appreciate anyone that is listening right now. I just want everyone to know that it's really been an honor and a privilege to be on town council this year. I feel like I've had a good opportunity to really see what's going on in our town and get some things going. And one of the main reasons I would like to stay on council is to see some of those projects through to fruition. One of the biggest things is our water and sewer improvement project. Another, the boardwalk renovation. I mean, those are just two big things that I think we've worked really hard on this year. And those are some things I'd like to continue working on as a member of the town council. I'm not just a mom, and I'm also a business owner. I've one of the founders of the Pleasure Island Sea Turtle Project. We built that group, a nonprofit group, from nothing to what it is now, one of the largest volunteer organizations on the island. And I'm really, really proud of the work I've put in to our community in that respect. But I really think that can all transfer over to working on the town council. I'm an easy to get along with type of person. I'm very level-headed and easy to approach, and I pride myself on being someone that's a good listener and really wants to do what's right for our community and take what residents come to me with and issues that they have. I want to hear what they want, and I want to be a representative for them on our council.
Thank you. Finally, Mike Worley.
Thank you guys for having us tonight. I believe our town's on the right track. And my goal is to continue to move our town forward with forward thinking. I believe in continuing the fight to protect our beaches, our environment. We've made great strides with recycling efforts, with bike paths, and basically just the quality of life in general. And my goal is to continue that. I believe it's very important that we also fight for transparency between our town council and the residents. So my goal is to bring a renewed vision and bring transparency and, yes, youth to the town of Carolina Beach and continue to move us forward.
Thank you very much. I'd like to thank all the candidates who joined us this evening from the towns of Carolina, Curie, and Wrightsville Beaches. Thanks also to guest panelist WECT's John Evans. Thanks to our invaluable WHQR volunteers, Lindsay McGrath and Lori Goldwasser. Producers George Scheibner, Asia Brown, and reporter Katie O'Reilly. Thanks also to station manager Cleve Callison. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Also, heartfelt thanks to our audience, our listeners, and all of you who contributed thoughtful questions for the candidates tonight. A couple of quick notes. The audio of this forum will be posted online near the end of this week. Check back for that. That is whqr.org. Join us tomorrow evening for the Wilmington City Council Candidates Forum, broadcast live at 7 p.m. on both WHQR 91.3 and WWAY-TV3, the main channel. We'll hear from all six candidates competing for the three open Wilmington City Council seats. Most importantly, remember to vote. Early voting is underway in New Hanover County, and Election Day is November 5th. Thank you again, and good night.